At 6:19, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Today was the first day of a week off for school kids in Bonham, an hour northeast of Plano. The reason? Flu. There are so many ill students and staffers at the six schools in the district that officials consulted with health leaders and decided to shut down to let everyone recover. KERA checked in today with several kids and parents dealing with this sudden time off. Bill Siebel picks up the story from there.
Sleet leading up to a bad weather day is one thing, but a whole week? 14-year-old Jenna Hubbard is a Bonham District 8th grader. KERA's Stella Chavez caught up with her and her mom at a Dairy Queen.
I prayed about it, that, you know, the weather would be bad enough, because everyone's like, oh, it's sleeting in Bonham. And God answered my prayer that we don't have school for a whole week. So amen to that. And I was just really happy that school was out for a week.
16-year-old Michaela Henry at the same lunch spot offered a slightly different take.
Of course, I was excited, but then again, I was kind of, like, upset that, like, it got this far because, like, I'm sad that there are so many people, like, actually going through this and, like, they're sick in the hospital and they're not able to get their education.
Mom Tricia Hubbard, who works at home, says she's at least able to watch the kids. Both teens are preparing for upcoming school competitions, so Michaela will focus on drill team work while Jenna pulls out her flute for this weekend's regional competition.
So I just plan on practicing a lot and playing Minecraft.
Tricia Hubbard says the week off puts her and a lot of families in a tough spot, but she's not complaining.
I mean, I think they've made the right decision. I think it's, you know, they're doing the best, taking the best interest for the kids and the teachers and the faculty. It was probably a pretty good decision from what it sounds like.
The Texas Education Agency has heard this before. Districts typically take some bad weather days off and even days for illness. Sunnyvale, just east of Dallas, canceled 2 days of school for flu in December. The TEA's Dieta Culbertson says it hasn't been this bad in years.
In 2009, the state experienced an outbreak of the H1N1 flu virus. At the end of that school year, we had 33 school districts that applied for low attendance waivers and 98 districts that applied for missed instructional day waivers. We did have school districts that on average were closed 3 to 5 days due to the flu virus.
Bonham hopes to have its six campuses back open next Wednesday. Bill Siebel, KERA News.
In Austin yesterday, Governor Greg Abbott unveiled how he plans to take another shot at reducing property tax rates. Despite a lot of talk about the idea last year, the state legislature didn't act. Ryan Poppy, who covers the State House for Texas Public Radio in San Antonio, reports on what's different this time around.
The bitter cold front blanketing much of Texas in snow and ice isn't slowing down Governor Abbott's push to reduce local property taxes.
It doesn't matter whether it's rain, snow, sleet, or hail. Texas legislature is going to be responsive to this pressing demand Texans have to lower their property taxes.
Abbott's announcement took place in the home of Houston resident David Garcia, who explained the type of financial issues a family of five on one income struggles with.
I know the struggle of working hard to get ahead, to make a little more each year, to feed and clothe a growing family. I know the joy of getting that small raise, that little promotion that might mean just a little bit of wiggle room in the budget. And I know the frustration of seeing my property taxes balloon out of control, increasing a total of 45% in just the last 4 years.
Abbott's plan, which he's hoping to make the centerpiece for his re-election campaign, will require counties and other entities to set property tax rates that ensure the revenues that they generate doesn't exceed the previous year's total by more than 2.5%.
Now, this isn't some new novel idea. At least 15 states across the country have a cap like this on property tax revenue growth.
But State Representative Diego Bernal, a San Antonio Democrat and vice chair of the House Committee on Public Education, says there's an even simpler solution to decreasing local property taxes, and that's increasing state funding for local school districts.
Look, the state used to fund the public schools up to 50% of all school finance dollars. Now it's down to 36%, and that's forced local school districts to have to raise their taxes to generate the revenue that they're not getting from the state.
Bernal says, yes, property taxes are too high, but he says that's because Governor Abbott and the Republican legislature rely on rising school districts' property tax collections to balance the state budget. Abbott says under the plan, cities and counties would be allowed to exceed a 2.5% revenue cap for public safety and infrastructure needs, like hiring additional police officers and firefighters to keep up with population growth, but only with local voter approval. Ryan Poppy, Texas Public Radio News.
Now to tacos. Stephen Alvarez is a professor who studies tacos, and today on Think, he talked with host Chris Boyd about how tortillas reflect the evolution and divides of Mexican culture.
The history of the tortilla encapsulates so much about Mexican history. And really, to think about the distinction first, I would say, between flour and corn tortillas. The distinction between flour and corn is one that goes back to Mexican colonial history at the conquest, when Spanish invaders brought flour to create a kind of flatbread. However, there was always a distinction between corn used by indigenous communities and then flour, principally in the northern parts, where my family's from, the state of Sonora, for example. But even that, I would say that the tradition of a tortilla as a flatbread, it's just really rich to think about the multiplicity of ways it can be used in cuisine, but then even the production of the tortilla, and really this incredible invention of the Americas, which is nixtamalization, the transformation by which corn transforms into what we call pozole, hominy, actually, I guess you would say in English. And it's really one of the gifts, I think, of Mesoamerican civilization to the Americas and to the world. So there's so much we can really think about historically to tortillas, but also how the tortilla has become a way of forming a wall between people, particularly indigenous and those mestizo folks of more European blood.
Stephen Alvarez teaches a class called Taco Literacy at St. John's University in New York. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. A week from tomorrow, hundreds of volunteers will stream through the streets of Dallas and Collin counties to count the number of people sleeping outside. It's part of the annual point-in-time homeless count organized by the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, organizers are using new technology to capture a more accurate picture of the region's homeless crisis, and they hope it will help them act quicker to help folks in need.
The new technology is an app called Counting Us, which volunteers will download onto their phones or tablets.
When they go out and do interviews, they literally will ask a very consistent series of questions and just click, 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 and hit submit.
Cindy Crane is the president and CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance and a member of KERA's Community Advisory Board. She says that data will immediately drop into a database that organizers will be able to monitor and manage all night in real time. Visually, the data reports will show up as several red dots on a map.
And the greatest value is literally when the last volunteer is completed and done, we will be able to get immediately some preliminary data where we identify some opportunities to do immediate street outreach the very next day.
Up until last year, these counts have been done with paper and pen, which means her team would have to wait days, weeks, even months for the results. When MDHA started using Counting Us on a limited basis just in Dallas last year, Crane says they were able to identify veterans and young people, both especially vulnerable populations, and get them help right away. While each homeless count is vital, this one comes as Crane and her organization are facing criticism from Dallas City Hall about poor data management, homeless camps, and calls for Crane to step down as president. She says it's important that this homeless count is as comprehensive and accurate as possible.
If I don't have the number of volunteers I need, then I won't be able to really give a good picture. But we will be able to say that we are using a consistent counting model year after year to provide that necessary longitudinal data to give the community an idea of how many people are experiencing unsheltered homelessness.
Last year, the homeless count showed that overall homelessness had dropped slightly, but unsheltered homelessness, people sleeping outside, spiked nearly 50%. The Homeless Alliance needs 1,500 volunteers for the count. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Want to volunteer to help with the count? You can sign up at mdhadallas.org. And a hard freeze warning is in effect for Tyler and the surrounding areas from 9 tonight until 9 tomorrow morning. Otherwise, mostly clear skies in store for us this evening with a cold low around 21. Tomorrow should be sunny with a high around 46. At 628, this is KERA News.